The Russian came out of the prison block in time for dinner, Kelly saw. He had a notebook in his hands, doubtless full of the information he'd sweated out of the prisoners. "We're going to get your sorry red ass," Kelly whispered to himself. He could feel it now. Moratore non cognat. Those who are about to die just don't know. Which was just fine with Kelly.
Homicide.
Hi, I'm trying to get Lieutenant Frank Allen.
You got him, Allen replied. Who's this?
Sergeant Pete Meyer, Pittsburgh, the voice replied. Captain Dooley referred me to you, sir.
Tell Mike I said hello, Allen replied. What can I do for you?
Sergeant Meyer told Allen what he knew. Two homicides, both women, and he had a witness. The perpetrators, he said, were two white males. The only names he had were Billy and Rick.
Okay, Allen said, writing furiously. It's being handled downtown, Lieutenant Ryan and Sergeant Douglas. These are high-profile cases, Sarge. How solid is your information?
I believe it to be very solid, Meyer said.
Is your source in jail?
I'm pushing the edge here, Meyer replied. But my dad's a preacher. He's counseling the girl. Lieutenant, this is really off-the-record stuff, okay?
I understand. What do you want me to do?
Please forward the info to the investigating officers. They can contact me through the station.
Very well, Sergeant. I'll pass that along. Thanks a lot for the input. You'll be hearing from M and Tom. Depend on it.
Allen hung up and dialed a number. Jesus, Douglas breathed after he hung up the phone with Allen. He quickly filled Ryan in on the break they'd finally received.
They're all connected somehow. The girls, the pushers.
What connects them?
Two different M.O.s, Tom.
The girls were slaughtered. All the rest were taken down by the invisible man. Man on a mission. That's what Dr. Farber said. A man on a mission.
Revenge, Douglas said. If one of those girls was close to me...
Jesus, M., who could blame him? There was only one person connected with either murder who had been close with a victim, and he was known to the police department, wasn't he? Ryan grabbed his phone and called back to Lieutenant Allen.
Frank, what was the name of that Navy guy you worked with a while back?
Kelly. John Kelly.
Oh. Pamela Madden.
Jesus, Allen exclaimed when the connection became clear.
Tell me about him, Frank. Hell of a nice guy. Quiet. Kind of sad. Lost his wife, auto accident or something.
Veteran, right?
Frogman, underwater demolitions. That's how he earns his living.
Keep going.
Physically, he's pretty tough. He's seen combat and caught some fire.
Thanks, buddy. Ryan hung up. He's our guy. He's the invisible man. Nightfall. It had been a dreary day for everyone at Sender Green except for Kelly. He watched the camp settle into their evening routines. He could see the landing zone and had already selected his path to it, hoping the Marines wouldn't be trigger-happy when he ran down towards them. At 2100, he made his final transmission. Light green, the technician wrote on his pad. Activity normal.
That's what we need, Maxwell said, looking at the others.
Everyone nodded.
Operation Boxwood Green, Phase 4, commences at 2200, Maxwell announced. Captain Franks, make signal to Newport News.
It was in motion. At last.
Well, maybe this would show the guys from Philly how important he was. Henry's operation breaks down, and I handle things. Eddie Morello is important, he thought, stoking the fires of his own ego as he drove up Route 40.
Yeah, he had it all figured out now. Morello pulled in the parking lot of a diner made from a railroad car. He remembered his first meal out of the house with his father in a place just like this. The memory made him smile as he parked the car. The other car pulled in. It was a blue Oldsmobile, as he'd been led to expect. Two guys got out. One carried an attaché case and walked towards him.
The backup man stayed at the car, watching. Yeah, serious people. And soon they'd know that Eddie Morello was a serious man, too, he thought.
Got the stuff?
Got the money, Morello asked in return.
You made a mistake, Eddie, the man said as he opened the briefcase.
What do you mean, Morello asked, suddenly alert, about 10 seconds and a lifetime too late.
I mean, it's goodbye, Eddie, he added quietly.
The look in his eyes said it all. Morello immediately went for his weapon, but it only helped the other man.
Police! Freeze! The man shouted just before the first round burst through the open top of the case.
Eddie got his gun out, but the cop was only 3 feet away and couldn't possibly miss. The backup officer was already running in, surprised that Lieutenant Charon hadn't been able to get the drop on the guy. As he watched, the detective extended his arm and fired straight into the man's heart. It was all so clear to Morello now. Henry had done it all. He'd made himself, that was it. And Morello knew that his only purpose in life had been to get Henry and Tony together. It didn't seem like much. Not now.
Back up! Charon screamed over the dying man.
Within a minute, two state police cars screeched into the parking lot.
Damned fool!
Charon told his partner 5 minutes later, shaking as he did so, as men do after killing.
He just went for the gun, like I didn't have the drop on him.
I saw it all, the junior detective said, thinking that he had. Well, it's just what you said, sir, the state police sergeant said. He opened Eddie's case. It was filled with bags of heroin. Some bust.
Yeah, Charon growled. Except Dad, the dumb fuck can't tell anybody anything.
Which was exactly true. Remarkable, he thought, succeeding in his struggle not to smile at the mad humor of the moment. He just committed the perfect murder, under the eyes of other police officers. Now Henry's organization was safe. The Marines were lightly loaded as they filed aft. Albie and Irvin counted them off as they headed out onto the flight deck, directing them to their choppers. Watching them were Maxwell and Podolsky. For the first time, the Marines saw that Podolsky had the Medal of Honor. The ribbon caught many glances and quite a few nods of respect that his tense face acknowledged.
All ready, Captain? Maxwell asked.
Yes, sir, Albie replied calmly over his nervousness. Showtime. See you in about 3 hours.
Good hunting, Maxwell stood ramrod straight and saluted the younger man.
They look pretty impressive, Ritter said.
Oh, Jesus, I hope this works.
Yeah, James Greer breathed. It's in their hands now.
Good kids, James, Podolsky said.
That Clark guy's pretty impressive, too, Ritter observed. What's he do in real life?
I gather he's sort of at odds at the moment.
Why?
We always have room for a guy who can think on his feet.
The boy's smart, he said, and the two admirals nodded their agreement.
Snake, this is Cricket. Time check is nominal. Acknowledge.
Yes, Kelly said aloud. 2 hours to freedom, guys, he told the prisoners in the camp below. Kelly moved from his hiding place. Let's get it on.
Shifting fire right, range 9250. The guns thundered once more. One of the 100-millimeter gun mounts on the coast was actually firing at them now. The NVA gun crew had watched Newport News immolate the rest of their anti-aircraft battalion, and they were trying at least to fire back and wound the monster that was hovering off their coastline. Only minutes now until the Marines were on the ground. Kelly was in the open now, his eyes sweeping everywhere, searching for danger, finding nothing. 10 minutes out from the LZ, still no movement in the camp. Death was racing towards them, and they didn't know.
Wait. Motors.
More than one. Kelly moved to the top of the hill, looking down to the dirt road. Movement. Trucks. 2, 3, 4. Oh, my God. Soldiers.
Wait, Johnny boy. Don't panic. Maybe.
They turned around the base of the hill. A guard in one of the towers shouted something. The first truck stopped at the gate. The driver shouting. Soldiers dismounted. Kelly counted. 10, 20, 30. More, but it wasn't the number. They were fanning out around the compound. He had to look away. What more would fate take away from him? Why not just take his life and be done with it? But it wasn't just his life that fate was interested in. It never was. He was responsible, as always, for more than that. Kelly reached for his radio and flipped it on. Cricket, this is Snake. Over.